I greet everyone in the name of Jesus this morning. I'm fighting a bad cold, so bear with me. Might not make it a full hour, but I'll do my best. This morning, as was already mentioned, everybody knows this is Mother's Day, so I'm preaching at the men this morning. I want to think about honoring mothers. Today is the day that we pay special tribute to moms. And we understand that not all mothers have been or are what they should have been. But I think while we understand that they're not all the same, I mean, there are some that have probably not done what they should. The idea of respecting mothers is still there. We should still respect mothers, whether they have done well or not. And I think in our circle, we probably don't really have that many mothers that have not done well. We all probably look fondly at mothers, and we want to take this morning, want to give the honor that is due to them. We also want to understand, we realize that not every woman is called to be a mother. God has other plans for some women other than motherhood. And those ladies also need to be honored as well. Mothers should be honored for their persistent love. I think we all understand that mothers have a love for their children that is probably difficult for us as men to understand sometimes, that pervading love that is an inequality in women, usually. We also know that, and I think about when I'm preaching Mother's Day message, often, I mean, the line goes more from mothers to wives in general as well. But mothers have probably more patience and stamina than fathers do, especially when think of them taking care of sick children and just many other things that go along with being mothers. You know, they're going without sleep when babies are small and just so many different things. They have an incredible stamina and patience. And mothers' love can't be denied or underestimated. We also know that long after some fathers have maybe disowned or abandoned their children, a mother's heart is often still there for their children, and that's something that we can marvel at. I'll go through a few points here. Number one, I want to look at responsibilities of mothers, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. You're probably expecting me to go here. Speaking here of the virtuous woman. Virtuous literally means strength and valor, and in all ways excellent. It refers to moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. We'll read Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31 now. And I might paraphrase some of the words, some of the phrases. Hope it doesn't distract too much from the original the meaning. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard, or we could say planteth a garden. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, or we could say she's not afraid of winter for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and doesn't spend all her time on her phone. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her daughter have done virtuously, and thou excellest them all. Or many daughters have done virtuously. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So we want to look here at five qualities of a virtuous woman here that we see. Number one, verses 11, 12, and 23. 11, heart of her husband, I'll safely trust in her. See that she is trustworthy and devoted. And it's such a blessing for us. I don't think we often even we probably take it for granted that we generally, we trust our wives. They're devoted to us. She has her husband's confidence, his best interest at heart, and she enhances his reputation. A virtuous woman will do so much to be an encouragement and to enhance the husband what he can be. When you think of the opposite, a woman could, and we see that in society, how a woman can so quickly destroy the reputation or destroy the worth of a man. Virtuous woman is trustworthy and devoted. Verse 23 also says your husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He has a reputation that's not just by his own worth or his own works, efforts, but the family, what his wife has contributed to that. Number two, verses 13 to 19. Says she is a woman of diligence and wisdom. She is not afraid to work, is a wise shopper, plans ahead. Such a blessing to have been brought up in homes where mothers provided for the family, sewing, planting gardens, canning food, preparing meals, and just a myriad of other things that is involved in that. It says in these verses all the things here that she did. And, we might think that we as men put so much effort into providing for our families, so much time, we spend our days working, but I think if the roles would be reversed, we would probably be in for a shocker sometimes of how much work there is in what the mothers do, providing all the services, things that are done in the home. Number three here, she is a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hands to the poor. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to be able to not only take care of the needs of her own family, but also needs of those around her, society beyond. And a virtuous woman will always be looking beyond immediate surroundings, but the needs that are also around as well. Number four speaks of her being dependable. Verse 15 says she rises while all is yet night, maybe even 1:30 in the morning, and makes his lunch and his coffee. Well, maybe it doesn't say that exactly, but you know, the preparing for the day ahead, virtuous woman does that. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow, of the changing seasons, the things that are ahead. This literally says, not afraid of the snow, but you know, the different things that come. She has a plan. When adversity comes, she's already prepared so many times to deal with the unexpected. Industrious, ingenious, whatever might be a curveball thrown at them, a virtuous woman will many times be able to take that in stride. Also, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There are probably dangers in idleness that face every one of us, obviously. But a virtuous woman will redeem the time, and especially when thinking of a godly mother, when the children are there, spend the time teaching them, spend the time to be with them and help them to grow to be what God wants them to be as well. Number five, she is a woman who loves the Lord. You see that by reading all these verses in this text. She is someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom, God's principle. These verses are describing a woman who is living in a supernatural way to serve a supernatural God, walking with God. But we also understand that even ungodly women can be good mothers. And from time to time we see those in society, maybe our neighbors, women that seem to be good mothers, God. But I think primarily when we see that, they are still following godly principles. To be a good mother, you pretty much need to be following godly principles. There are probably few things more important to society than godly mothers. We know that the family is the foundation of society, and while we as fathers are responsible for the way the family goes, the mothers are the glue that holds the family together. And mothers also generally do more of the teaching in regard to the practical, maybe finer things of life. We know that's a team effort, but teaching children how to behave in society, how to be tactful and how to act proper. Isn't it so many times the mothers that teach that? All right, second point here. Look at some of the challenges of mothers or of motherhood. We need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. And I think we all understand that in society that is kind of opposite. Well, we respect femininity and we want to differentiate femininity from feminism. We're not talking about feminism. Motherhood is more important than having a career. We all understand that. But we're not saying that some women can't have jobs as well. But it's important that we understand which is more important. That motherhood is more important than a career, obviously. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Just read these verses. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is a long list here of the perilous times that we live in, and I think these perilous times will come in the last days because people are lovers of themselves and lovers of money. Boasting, pride, and blasphemy are all sins of pride that come from loving oneself. Disobedience to parents and unthankfulness are also a result of having an exaggerated sense of self-worth. It's all rooted in pride. So what if we live in a world like this, what does it do to a woman who by the very nature of her creation was designed to be needing love and affection and reassurance? What does it do when the husband loves himself more than his wife? When he loves his money more than his wife? When anything comes between us? Satan's first attack was against the wife, and it immediately affected the home. Satan is still attacking us today, including mothers and wives. And sometimes husbands, they don't have a proper understanding or proper humility, love themselves, love our money, are proud. The children also pick up on that. Children sometimes become disobedient. People are unthankful, unloving, and this all affects how the mother can function in the home, hinders what she can be. These human factors affect the whole family and the home, and especially the mother, because she is the keeper of the home. Those of us who are husbands and fathers need to take note of this, because even though our wives are the keeper of the home, we are supposed to be the protectors of the home. We have a responsibility for the respect that our children show to their mothers. We shouldn't allow these things to infiltrate our homes, our lives, and the lives of our family. We can't do much about the lack of respect for motherhood and femininity in society around us, but we can determine how those effects are allowed in our homes. Just like to read some verses in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 29. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. This passage clearly shows that the husbands are to be the head of the house, but also says that we are to love our wives as Jesus loved the church. We are to love our wives sacrificially. If we fail to do that, we are disobeying this commandment that God has given in his word, and we're distorting the picture of what the church, or this picture of marriage provided of Christ and the church. When the world looks at our marriages, should be an example to them. So once again, as if we fail to love our wives this way, we sin against our wives and our children, because our children pick up on our attitudes and actions. So once again, here in Proverbs 31, so we see in this passage the demands on mothers are incredible. And to once again look at some of the things that are included in this, you know, the grocery shopping, preparing meals, washing and ironing, house cleaning, caring for the many other needs of the family, plus all the demands of the household. Often wives are given the responsibility of paying bills and doing some of those other things. This also could include responsibilities in church work, supporting husbands in that way. The list goes on. Things in business sometimes that are also extra responsibilities. Third point we want to look at is helps for mothers. One help, obviously, for mothers is to have loving fathers. And another one is to have obedient children. And I think I might have said that earlier, but husbands must teach and demand that the children, and especially boys, respect their mothers. If we can do that as dads, as fathers, it will be a tremendous help to the mothers. Another help is to have right priorities. In Luke 10, we have the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus, I'll just quickly read these verses, verse 38 in Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or distracted about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled or worried about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. (Clears throat) Mary found time to sit at Jesus' feet, to be near him and learn of him. We see that Martha was busy with work. She found plenty to do and didn't take the time to spend time here with Jesus. This is the same Mary that went to the tomb and was the first person to see the resurrected Christ. Shows us something about her priorities. Mothers need to prioritize like this, like she did, like Mary did. This requires you to make wise decisions about the time you spend with your children. Obviously, there are many needs, and it takes incredible wisdom to know how to distribute your time, But I think it's very important for mothers to make sure you spend time with the children, reading to them, just teaching them so many things. Maybe sometimes some of the housework may not get done, but prioritize well. It doesn't mean that we look at Mary and Martha here. Doesn't mean that women ignore the other duties of the household, but have the proper priorities. Mothers who end up making Martha's priorities their own end up like Martha. They find themselves filled with resentment, self-pity, and tension. Jesus himself took time to pray and to be alone with his Heavenly Father. We see that he's a great example to us of prioritizing our time. So moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word? Take your burdens and cares to him? The Bible makes it very clear that no wife or husband or mom or dad can be the kind of spouse or parent that God has called us to be without the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help. In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. How do we know for sure we can do nothing as well as we should if we don't spend time with Jesus? All right, Proverbs 31 here again, verse 30 and 31. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. A woman who finds her value in her looks will be disappointed. We know age and gravity are unrelenting. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to brag or boast about her accomplishments. Her own works will praise her. People will see it and know it. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will praise her. So just hear the last part in closing. I have a poem here. Its title is Motherhood. It's written by Helen Steiner Rice. The dearest gifts that heaven holds, the very finest too, were made into one pattern that was perfect, sweet, and true. The angel smiled, well pleased, and said, compared to all the others, this pattern is so wonderful, let's use it just for mothers. And through the years, a mother has been all that sweet and good, for there's one bit of God and love in all true motherhood. That was kind of a nice little poem. In conclusion, encouragement to the moms here today. God didn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to walk in his perfection. God said, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Take time to get into the Word of God. Compare what God's Word says to what the world says, and where they differ, reject the world's point of view. Use God's pattern for godly motherhood. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us, and look unto the author and finisher of your faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. Close of this service, we are so thankful for your design, the home. We are so thankful for all the godly mothers that have influenced each one of us. So many of us have been blessed with teaching that have helped us. We also pray for the women that have not been called to motherhood. Just bless them in their responsibilities and the blessings that they can be to your kingdom in so many other ways. We also pray for each one here that whatever our responsibility is in the home, that we would do our part to fulfill it to the best of our ability in your strength, through your strength, that we can be an example to the world around us in these last days when there is so much evil and things are distorted and perverted. Just help us to be true to you. Just pray that you be with each one of us as we go from here. Continue to bless us, make us a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.